good to see everybody out here again. Just getting ready here. All right, now I'm ready to go. Very good to see you, especially tonight. I called Damon this afternoon and asked him, I said, are you guys still planning on having services? Because on our way home from World Ridge, there was just cars everywhere in the ditch. And he wasn't sure whether or not you all felt comfortable coming out tonight. I was more than willing to come, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't show up and there was nobody here because you guys canceled. So, but I am very thankful that you all made it here safely and for your diligence to be out here, not only on a very weather-filled day, but also on a night with so many events that could have been distracting to a lot of people, that you guys had the dedication to be here, to be where you should be, worshiping God. And the songs that we just sang, I didn't speak with Damon about the songs, but I think the songs that he chose actually go very well in with the lesson that we're going to be studying tonight. I want to do basically just a character study on Joshua. And you remember the first song that we talked about was Marching to Zion. And of course, we know that Joshua was the one that led them into that chosen or promised land. As we also sang there, we're going to look at Joshua and the character that he had, that he even at one point is said to have had the very Spirit of God dwelling in him there. That he had that kind of character, that it could just be said that he was filled with the Spirit, much like you see with other characters in the New Testament. As you see there at the stoning of Stephen, that is the quality that they say that he was filled with as well, was simply that he was filled with the Spirit. And as we just sang there a moment ago about praises unto Jesus, that anywhere that he would lead, that I would go, that's exactly the kind of character that Joshua exemplified there. That anywhere that God told him to go, whether it was into a land with giants, into a land that nobody else really thought that they could take, Joshua was willing to go into that kind of land and willing to battle and know that God was with him, and therefore he was going to continue to follow after him. And what I want to do here in looking at the character of Joshua is first just look at some of the qualities that we probably all know him about, or know for him. That he was a great leader, that he was a great warrior, that he was a spiritual leader as well, one that was equal with Moses and followed after Moses' footsteps as his successor. And then what I really want to focus in on and what I hope that each one of us will take away is really two qualities that I think really led Joshua throughout his whole life. There are two qualities as you look at his leadership abilities, as you look at everything that he did for that nation of Israel, that I think stand out above everything else as saying that's the reason why he was the kind of leader that he truly was. I just want to look at those because I think that they are qualities that everyone here can have and that they can encourage other people to have as well. So we're just going to look briefly here at the life of Joshua, at the character that he had. We won't be able to get into any kind of great detail here as we're very limited with the time. But we will be able to, I think, gain some very good lessons from his life and from what he exactly left for us here. Let's start off with just looking at some of the positions that Joshua had. If you turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and you start there in verse 8, you really kind of get introduced to his first kind of quality that he had. We know Joshua as the great military leader, as we just said, that he was the one that led the nation of Israel into that land of Zion. In Exodus, the 17th chapter, starting there in verse 8, we're introduced to him as this kind of a military leader. It says there, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up on top of the hill." As we look at these statements that are said here, I want us to note just a couple of different things. And two things that I think are very important. The only thing that we really know about Joshua at this point is that he was also one of the spies that was chosen. And as we look at this character, though, we already get some very amazing things here about this individual. Out of all of the nation of Israel, who do they choose to be their military leader? We don't know that Joshua had any great skills or training as a leader here, as a warrior of any sort. But as Moses looks out amongst the crowd, he chooses Joshua to be that individual who would lead the nation. And I think there's one thing here in particular that stood out to him as saying, this is why I want this individual to be that military leader. And you'll note here that it was not a quality that we might look at today. If I was going out and going to fight a battle, and I was needing a leader or someone to lead those individuals into battle, I'm going to look for somebody that's probably pretty big, somebody that's been to war before, somebody that knows how to use a weapon or something of that nature. But all that we see here that is revealed, it says, Joshua did as Moses told him. I think that's enough right there to see why it was that Moses and that God said, this is the individual that we're going to have be our leader here. This is why I believe that they chose him, simply because of that phrase. Moses and God knew that Joshua had the kind of character to do as he was told. That he was going to do exactly what God's will for him to do was. As Moses up on the hilltop, and this is the battle where he stood there with his rod above as Joshua fought for the nation here of Israel. As Joshua was down there leading these people, Moses had to know that the individual that was down there was going to follow his instructions. He was going to be the kind of leader that would keep the people in line with the instructions as well. As we're going to see in just a moment here, as they went into Canaan, of course. As he marched around and we went to the city of Jericho, it must have again been a very difficult time for them to say, this is exactly the plan that I want us to do here. I want you to march around that city one time a day, and I want you to use all these instruments and so on. And you're on that seventh day after you've already done this six times, I want you to march around that city seven times. And then I want you to blow those trumpets and do all these different things and have everybody shout and do all kinds of different activities here, and those walls are going to fall down. That must have seemed absolutely ludicrous to most individuals. But what was that quality that we said that Joshua had that put him out here as a great military leader? He was willing to do those kinds of things because he knew that was the will of God, because he knew that that is what was commanded of him to do. Joshua's first great leadership quality that we see here is that he was willing to do whatever it was that God told him to do through Moses. That's what he was going to do for the people. As you continue to read there in Exodus, the 17th chapter, look at verse 13 there. It says, "And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." As we see here further, after his great military battle, we see here that he tells him to go forward and to recite these things unto Joshua, that he was going to utterly blot the image here, or blot the memory of Amalek completely out. Now, why is this such an important detail as we look at this here? What this is showing here is that Joshua was going to be one of those chosen individuals. That having done the will of God, that having followed after what Moses had told him to do, that Joshua had found favor in the sight of God. And that in itself should be a great lesson for us. It may have seemed crazy for a lot of these other people who were fighting the battle to say, well, Moses is going to stand up there and he's going to have a rod in his hand and so forth, and then we're going to win the battle because as long as he's got that rod up there, we have the favor of God. But Joshua knew that that was exactly what God wanted and was willing to follow after those things. And as you look at here, then, his faith and his willingness to do what God had said here, his willingness to follow after even really things that may have seemed crazy to a lot of people, found favor in the sight of God because he was one who was truly willing to follow wherever God was going to take him. As you look at this, then, and look over his entire military career, I want us to just note here, just some of the great things that he had done. We said there that he went into the walls there of Canaan and saw the walls of Jericho and that he brought those down. And as you look at that, we see that he brought down all the fortified cities there in the land of Canaan. As we look further into this, you see that he defeated a number of kings. As you continue to read through the book of Exodus, you can count them. He defeats some 31 different kings. Even kings at time that come together, as we see a coalition of five kings at one time, come together to try to battle against Joshua and the nation of Israel. But because he was faithful unto God, and of course God was faithful unto him, we see here that he was able to defeat those individuals and continue to lead the people as God would have them to do. We see that even the nations that do not get defeated, such as Gibeon, that they become enslaved by the nation of Israel. They become their servants. So everything here was falling into place because of one simple reason. And we noted there that Joshua did exactly as he was told. Joshua did as Moses had told him to do, as God had told him to tell. As we look further into this, though, he was not just a great leader. We oftentimes just think of Joshua and say, well, he was a great military leader. But he was also a great spiritual leader of the nation as well. And I just want us to look at that a little bit further here. I want us to first look at the Mount of Sinai in Exodus, the 24th chapter. In Exodus, the 24th chapter, we oftentimes think, and I don't know if this is because of the movie, The Ten Commandments, or some other movies, or what it might be, that Moses alone was up there on that mount. But that's not what the Bible reveals to us there in Exodus, the 24th chapter. In Exodus, the 24th chapter, in verse 12, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mount and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with an assistant, Joshua. And Moses went up on the mountain of God and said to the elders, "Wait here until we return to you." Now, if you stop right there, you already notice here that Moses didn't start off alone, did he? He took Joshua with him, and it seems that some of the elders had also come with him. He calls Joshua in particular there his assistant on this journey. And as he turns back, he tells the elders to wait here for who? He doesn't say wait here for me. He says wait here for us until we return to you. Who's he talking about there? Well, if he left the elders behind, the only individual that he could possibly be saying that he's taking further up the mountain with him, of course, is Joshua. And as you continue to read there in the book of Exodus, and as we know that they begin to make this great sound of war in the camp, as they begin to worship the cow that they had made, that golden calf, you note there in Exodus, the 32nd chapter and verse 17, another inkling here of just how close Joshua had gone up that mountain. In verse 17 it says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, in order for him to be able to say this to Moses, he had to be close enough for Moses to hear him. Otherwise, it would make no sense here in this context. And so as you look at this instance here of the Mount of Sinai, as he's bringing forth the Ten Commandments here unto Moses, we note here that Joshua had at least come up high enough up the mountain here to be able to be in earshot of Moses and possibly even being in that very same presence of God as what Moses was. Nonetheless, what we do note here is that Joshua was a very chosen vessel of God. He was an individual who was also a great spiritual leader as he was chosen to come up this mountain and to be very close with him. We also see this on a number of other occasions, that Moses and Joshua had a very similar spiritual relationship with God. As you look at Exodus, the 33rd chapter, and verse 11, you note there about the tabernacle. And we know that Moses, on a number of occasions, entered into the tabernacle and met with God face to face and had those kinds of relationships. But as you know here in Exodus, the 33rd chapter and verse 11, we see Joshua had this kind of a close relationship with God as well. It says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And now this translation may be a little bit off here. It's not saying there that he was being stubborn or something, like they tried to get him out of the tent and they just couldn't get Joshua to leave the tent. What it's saying simply here is that Joshua did not need to leave the tent. That he was one that was allowed to be in that tent, in the very presence of God, in that tabernacle, to be there just like Moses was, speaking face to face with God with that kind of a spiritual relationship there. And now we say all of this, that we can get a great picture of who Joshua was. He was an individual who, yes, was a leader of a physical army, but he was also a leader of a great spiritual nation as well. He was someone who was chosen by God, someone who truly had the kind of faith here that we could call an individual that we would want to be like. Now, as we look at this individual, and as we look at a lot of different leaders, I think oftentimes the questions that arise in our mind is, how did that person get to that point? How can I be more like that individual? Well, you know, we can't just all of a sudden wake up and say, all of a sudden, hey, I'm just like Moses, I'm just like Joshua, I'm just like Paul, or whoever it might be. There has to be some level of dedication and time period that takes place there in looking at how our lives and trying to change them and mold them in order to be like that person. And I think there's two great qualities here of Joshua that are revealed in the scriptures that I want to look at this evening to say this is why I believe that he became that great leader of that army and that great leader of that spiritual nation. The first one that I want to look at here goes back to when he was chosen as one of the spies. As you look there, turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, we'll get a little bit of background and then see the point come here. In Numbers, the 13th chapter in verse 8, we see here the tribe that he was chosen from. It says there, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, was chosen to be one of those spies. His name here alone would speak volumes as to what he truly was as he lived up to this name. The name Hoshea means salvation or deliverer. As you further see here, Moses later changes his name to Joshua, which again means a lot to who he truly was. The name Joshua actually means Jehovah is salvation. And of course, Moses did not just give him this name just because he liked the way it sounded or something of this nature. But Moses, of course, gave him this name because it meant something here. That this individual had those kinds of qualities to truly lead those people into the salvation that Jehovah had promised for them. And as we look at this a little bit further and go into the book here in Numbers here as him a chosen spy, we start to see why his name is so appropriate as you get into them coming back with their report. As they had gone out, these 12 spies, and had looked into this nation here, all the spies come back and they say, look, these guys are giants. They're huge. They've got fortified cities. There's so many of them. They're everywhere. There's no way that we could possibly take them over. But we see Caleb and Joshua standing up and saying that they can overcome. You look at Numbers, the 14th chapter in verse 6, is Joshua and Caleb there, the first thing they do is they tear their clothes in disgust over the fact that these peoples, insubordinates and disobedience, that they are not willing to go into that land. And then, of course, we see in Numbers, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 7, their report as these two individuals stand alone. It says, "The land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against God, and do not fear the people of this land, for they are bread for us, their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." As Joshua and Caleb make these statements, imagine the courage that this must have taken. You have 10 other spies here that say, there's no way we can do this. You have an entire nation of people likely believing what they were saying there, that, you know, there's really no way we can do this. Everyone here is scared, is fearful. No one wants to go into this land at this time. They're content to wander around in the wilderness if that's what it means to be able to stay alive. And Joshua and Caleb alone stand up and say, don't fear. Fear the Lord. And know here that he can protect us. He goes on and tells us, as we said there, don't fear them. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. And that's all that Joshua and Caleb need to know, that God was with them. They could see all the spies and see all the fortified cities and see all the things that stood in their way and all the dangers. But these two individuals were willing to stand up and say, God is with us, and that's enough for me. This is the first quality, I think, that we need to know here about Joshua as to why he was such a great leader of the nation. Because before it was that he was chosen to lead a great number of people, he himself had first put firmly in his mind the faith to follow after God. And before you or I are ever going to be able to lead a congregation, be able to lead someone else to Christ, be able to lead a family or anything of that nature, you have to first put yourself in that situation. And first say that my life is right with God. And be able to stand firmly upon your own faith and your own conviction and say, I can lead myself before I'm going to try to lead these other individuals. Because as the responsibility increases, as you start to have a bigger family, as you start to have more people come in the doors and join your congregation, whatever it might be, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. It's going to get a lot harder the more people that you bring in. And if you're not able to first lead yourself and first have your own convictions, first have your own morality, first have your own mind and be able to live upon what God has said, you're never going to be able to follow or be able to lead those other individuals. So the first great quality that I want you to note about Joshua is before he became a leader of a nation, he first was willing to stand alone on his own convictions and stand alone for God, along with Caleb here. As we continue to look at this, we see here that this was truly an amazing thing here. Because notice what the congregation decided to do there in Numbers, the 14th chapter and verse 10. It shows us here that the congregation was about ready to stone these individuals. That shows us here that Joshua was willing to even put his life on the line in order to stand here for God. That God was going to be his only goal. He was going to follow wherever it was that God was going to lead him. And that's the first quality, I think, that made him such a great and such a wonderful leader, was that he had the faith that can only be described, I believe, in Numbers, the 27th chapter, verse 18. In Numbers 27 and verse 18, as they're describing Joshua, it tells us there, as we noted in the introduction, he was a man in whom is the Spirit, talking about the Spirit of God. And that is such a great compliment to be able to say to about an individual, that if nothing else was said about this individual, we would know that he was a great man. It describes him again as a man in whom is the Spirit of God. And that speaks volumes about who Joshua was. But as we look a little bit further at his character, we know that as great of a man as Joshua was, that he did not accomplish these things on his own. We know that no individual within the New Testament, within the Old Testament, at any point within history, that was a great leader accomplished anything all by himself. He always had to have people around him. And I think that's the other quality that I want to look at this evening about Joshua, is that he didn't try to always stand alone. Yes, we noted here an instance where he and Caleb alone stood against this nation and said that we can come into that land. But as he became that leader, those people began to follow after him. And he no longer had to stand alone, no longer had to bear the burden all by himself. But now he was able to gain the encouragement from the people. And I want us to note here in Deuteronomy, the first chapter in verse 38, that is something that God commanded the nation to do for him. God knew that Joshua was not going to be able to bear this burden all by himself, that eventually he was going to have the help that he needed. And in Deuteronomy, the first chapter in verse 38, in talking about Joshua, it says, Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter, talking about the promised land. And it tells him, talking about the people here, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Encourage him. Encouragement is something that is definitely needed for all leaders, isn't it? I'm sure we can all remember back in the high school days or in the college days or probably even right now that we had a difficult assignment, whatever it might be. Maybe it was the first time that we were going to step into a public speaking arena. Maybe it was that first basketball game or first sporting activity. I'm sure we were all nervous, and we can probably all remember a different activity of that sort. But we probably had something that helped us along that way. We probably all had parents, as I know most everybody's parents here, who were willing to encourage them and say that you are able to do this. Whether they did it beforehand or afterwards or before and after, they had people that were around them saying, I know that you're able to do this. You've practiced hard, you've trained, you can do these kinds of activities. You can overcome. And here as we look at Joshua, he was no different. Yes, he was a great spiritual leader, a great man here. But God recognized that Joshua, in order to be the kind of individual that he needed him to be, was going to need encouragement. And as we look around at our congregations, as we look at our preachers throughout the world, as we look at our elders, our deacons, our members, whatever it might be, we all need to recognize that if they're going to be the Christians that they need to be, the servants of God that they need to be, that they're going to need the encouragement from you and I as their fellow brethren, as their fellow sisters. You continue to look there. He even commands Moses in particular to do this as well. You look in Deuteronomy, the third chapter, in verse 28. In Deuteronomy 3:28, talking to Moses here, he says, But charge Joshua, and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of the people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall see. As he talks specifically to Moses here, he says two qualities here, encourage and strengthen him, which I believe are synonyms of one another. He's telling him again here, in particular to Moses here, this leader who, of course, he was very close to, that he was going to have to be a focal point of that encouragement. And then we see here exactly the result, I believe, of encouragement. Encouragement can be one of the greatest strengths that we can have on our side. Yes, the Word of God is wonderful, and we can see and gain strength from the Word of God. Yes, just singing songs can be a great encouragement as well, but oftentimes it's the fellowship of a brother or sister. Knowing that someone else is there to lean upon is going to be that greatest strength, that greatest comfort in that time of need. And we all need to recognize that as we have these brothers and sisters, as we have family, that yes, they may be strong, but oftentimes if we can remove that burden from them, give them a shoulder to rest upon, give them the strength that they need and that encouragement, that we need to be there for them. Oftentimes, as we oftentimes say there, people really don't care how much you know or how much, you know, that you really have that in your mind until they know how much you care. And that's oftentimes the greatest strength that we can give to that individual. Is simply the strength of being there for them. And God himself even recognized this as far as Joshua was concerned. In Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verses 14 and 15, God himself comes down to strengthen and to encourage Joshua. It says, And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, the days approach. When you must die, call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting, and the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. And the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. It says here that he wanted to commission Joshua. Well, what exactly does that mean, that he wanted to commission him? The first thing that we oftentimes think about is that he wanted to charge him and give him what he was going to have to be as this new military leader. But it was more than that. He was also there to build him up and to also build Moses up as he was about ready to pass on. And you can see that God does this throughout Joshua's life. You turn to Joshua, the first chapter, verse 5. And as you look there, we see God in particular speaking unto Joshua, trying to build him up and encourage him and to show him that he was right there with him. It says, No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave or forsake you. Imagine the encouragement, the strength that you would get if God was able to say that to you, to tell you that no man is going to be able to stand before you. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave or forsake you. The strength that Joshua must have gotten, knowing for a fact there that God was going to be with him all the days of his life. The encouragement and the building up of his body and of his spiritual life must have been very great at this point, to know that Moses was behind him, the nation was behind him, that God was with him. We all need that same kind of strength as well, I believe. And that's why it's so important for us to read the promises that we have in the New Testament. Our promises are no different. As you read there in 1 Peter, the second chapter, we see that we are His chosen people, that we are His chosen race, that we have this same kind of a promise given to us through Christ, that God has given us that promise that He will be with us as well. As we look around at our brethren, it should be no different than what we see here with the nation of Israel, to know that our brethren are there for us as well, to know that if we have a need or a concern of any kind, that we can lean upon one another and be able to be brought up. That is the picture that we get in the New Testament as we look at the body, that the body cares for one another, the body is there for one another, that the body is not divided, but that the body is one. As you further look at this, you also see here a little bit more about Joshua. And God encouraging him, as you continue there in Joshua, the first chapter in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land, and I swore to their fathers to give them." As we see here further, he continues throughout his life to strengthen him, to give him the courage that he needs, to tell him to continue to trust in me, and I'll take care of the rest of that. As we look at his life here then, I think it comes almost full circle. And one of the last statements and one of the greatest statements that we know about Joshua. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, we see Joshua here beginning to pass on. And as Joshua is about ready to pass on in Joshua 24, we read there in verse 14, we start there. And we see Joshua making a statement here that has kind of lived on throughout all of history, a statement that I'm sure all of us could quote. As Joshua's last advice here, I want us to see what he has to say. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in which the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm sure all of us have heard that a number of different times. But what I want us to know here is just exactly what those words must have meant to Joshua. As we look at his life, what was that first quality that we said that made him such a great spiritual leader? He was willing to stand alone for God. He was willing to stand up and put his life on the line. That's what it meant to follow after God. And the first thing that he says there, he says, "Serve Him in sincerity and in all faithfulness." He's telling them to do the exact same thing that he built his life upon. Sincerely worship God. Follow Him in spirit and in truth. As he makes that final statement, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Again, making that same statement. That it doesn't matter what everybody else does, me and my house, we are going to serve God and keep His commandments. I would hope that each of us could be able to make that same kind of a statement as well. But notice here that this statement is not just going out to just one individual or just going out to a couple people. It's going out to the whole nation. He's saying all of us need to make this kind of a choice. Why would that be so important for him to give this advice to the entire nation? Because he knew where his strength lied as well. He knew that his strength was not just in himself to make that choice, but his strength was in numbers. His strength was in other people who were willing to build him up and encourage him. He knew here that all these people needed to make this choice and build one another up unto that most holy faith. That it was going to take all of them to continue to stand for what was right, to stand upon what God had built them up to be. And looking at this character then of Joshua, we can gain a lot about where we need to be as Christians. We can gain a lot about where this church needs to be, not just here as far as County Line is concerned, but as far as the universal church. The universal church is, of course, that body of saved individuals, that body of Christians who have been baptized into Christ and who now walk with Him. And as we look at this, we have to say here, am I being that kind of Christian that I need to be? Do I have the kind of faith here that Joshua had, that I would stand alone for God if that's what it took? Or do I have that kind of faith that whether death stood me in the face or what it was, that I was going to continue to stand for God? Do I have the kind of faith that I can lead my household, that I can be the strength that they need to be, that I could lead a congregation, that I could lead a person to Christ, whatever it might be? Do I have that kind of inner conviction? And if we do have that kind of inner conviction, are we showing it? Are we showing it in this community here? Are we showing it to our fellow family members, to our fellow Christians? Am I truly showing them that they can lean upon me and showing them that I am an encouragement and not a hindrance unto the faith? I would hope that each one of us could look around and say, yes, each one of us has that character of Joshua. He was an individual, as we said, in whom the Spirit was. And if we want to have that kind of statement made about us on that last day, to say that I truly embodied what it was to be of a godly character, we'll have to be much like Joshua here as well. These are very powerful words and last advice that Joshua gives. I would hope that they would ring out to each and every one of us. If you look to the example of Joshua today and say, I want to be like him, I would hope that you would have the conviction today to stand up for Christ and to say that I'm willing to give my life over to him. If you have never done that, you have a great obligation and a great opportunity to do so, a privilege, to be able to come unto God and to be baptized into his name. If you've never been baptized into Christ, then you have not the forgiveness of sins according to the Scriptures. If you would like your sins to be washed away, to stand for God today, and to be one of his chosen children, to be one that can stand on that last day with Christ, and to be a righteous servant, and to hear that well done, that good and faithful servant, then you have that opportunity this evening. Don't put that off until a later time. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?
Oh.